Hello, everyone, and welcome to another segment of the Joy of Living and Learning Conversations with Phyllis. I'm Phyllis Tucker Saunders, and we have a good one for you today. I have my friend Larry Morris today, and this topic came about because Larry and I, we were having a discussion. And some folks might find this to be surprising, but I'm really a separatist. And the reason I'm a separatist is because it's more because of I fear for the safety of Black people. And we've been trying for years to live together in this country called the United States of America and making things equal, and it hasn't happened yet. So hopefully today Larry's gonna convince me that there's some hope. I wanna say that I attend a Presbyterian church here in Laurel, Maryland, and under the pastorship of Pastor Leanne. And it's folks like those who give me hope that there are some chances for us to live together in peace. I know my congregation at my church, they're very much proactive in social justice under the leadership of our pastor and the Presbyterian organization. So that kind of gives me hope, but I can say that it is hard to hope in a situation that we've been trying to rectify for so long. So let me introduce my guests, Larry M. Morris. For 5 decades, Larry Morris has been involved in community outreach and community development in the city of Wilmington, Delaware, while mentoring hundreds of young people. Larry served 2 terms as president of the Wilmington NAACP. He was founder of the Morris Youth Center and founder of the Homegirl Developmental Basketball League. In recognition of his work, Larry has received many awards for his service. Larry retired from Governor Carney's office in 2019, where he served as the governor's community liaison. Combining 35 years of working directly in the community and 15 years in government, Larry has served in the Wilmington community for over 50 years. Larry is a proud father of 3 adult daughters and the very proud pop-up of 5 wonderful grandchildren. And I hope I pronounced their names right, Maya, Mason, Sky, Sage, and Stone, and a brand new great-grandson, DeAndre. He is a child of God and a proud longtime member of the Mother African Union Church of Wilmington, Delaware. Now, most people would shorten a person's bio by just mentioning that the person has children and not mention their names. Well, I know better than to do that with Larry Morris, because to him, that is the most important part of his bio. And I'm so sorry this is audio only, because if you could see the big bright smile on his face when I mentioned his children, you would know what I mean. So I give another shout out to Larry's pride and joy, his children and grandchildren. So please give a warm Conversations with Phyllis welcome to my longtime friend, Larry Morris of Wilmington, Delaware. Welcome, Mr. Morris.
Thank you. Thank you. This is exciting. This is a great honor to be on this show, particularly with this gracious host, someone who I've watched and admired for many years. So it's an honor to be here.
Okay, well, great. So are you gonna help me convert to the fact that there is some hope, because we're talking about things white folks need to know to truly make America great. So tell us your thoughts on that subject and how you came about to some of your conclusions.
Okay, good. First of all, this is a very difficult question, and hopefully a question is going on throughout the country. And at this particular time, see, for Black people in America, we've always known about white supremacy and racists. We've always known about the tricks and all the side deals and so forth that have been set up to keep African-Americans as second-class citizens. Lately, and over the years, no matter what African-Americans did to try to make things better, nothing seemed to get across like it should. And which brings us up currently, and we, as strange as it may sound, we kind of owe a debt of gratitude to Donald Trump, because before Donald Trump, we always knew there were white racists and white supremacists around. We didn't exactly know where they all were. Once Donald Trump came in and he kind of opened the door for all of them, they all came out of the closet, and we have a better idea of the severity to degree of severity that it racism is in America. So prior to this, prior to not just to this now, but several decades ago, there are three kinds of white people that I see. There are the ones who are out and out racist. There are the ones who are not racist. And there are the ones in the middle who aren't racist, but they have been benefiting from white privilege for so long, they're not really trying to rock the boat. They're not really trying to make any changes. So for so long, white people, there's a saying in the movie Malcolm X, or it's actually a real a speech of Malcolm X that says to Black folks, you've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amok, run astray. And he's basically talking about what white people have done to Black people. Well, I have kind of reversed that a little bit, or changed it up a little bit, to say that good white people have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amok, run astray by white people who are racist and white supremacists. So now what we need for white people to do in order for America to get better is for white people who are not racist and the white people who are in that middle category to start paying closer attention to what is going on now and what America has done in the past.
Larry, could you mention those three categories of white people again for me?
There are your white people who are just flat out are not racist. And I know plenty of those folks. They're good people and et cetera, et cetera. They're your white people who are flat out racist. They are racist and they proclaim to be racist and everybody knows they're racist. But in the middle, there's a category of white folks that are not really racist, but they are benefiting. They have been benefiting from white privilege. And so they aren't really excited about rocking a boat or changing anything because they have been benefiting.
And could there possibly be a fourth category, white people that are racist but don't know they're racist?
Well, that's kind of, sure. Because the notion I just presented is that for so long, ever since this country was created, the law of the land or the common thinking was that basically this is going to be a white country, and yes, that white people would dominate everything, that white people were superior in everything. So anybody who was not white didn't get get all the rights and privileges that this brand new country, this constitution and you know, everything, they won't get that because it was intended for white people.
By whites, for whites.
By whites.
And it was supposed to stay that way.
Exactly. So those people who subscribe to that thinking, they tried, now some of them actually believed it, but they tried to make everybody believe that non-white people are not as smart as white people, they're not as creative as white people. In fact, Black people and other non-whites are lazy, they're unorganized. And in some cases, you know, the segregationists and the white supremacists tried to say that, which is another category, they try to say that since everybody knows that God is white and created man in his own image, and since Black people don't look like a white person, therefore they're not really the people that was created in God's image. So they're really not full-fledged people.
So we should probably clarify here that God is a spirit and Jesus is a person of color.
I think that's yes. And that's yes. a pill for a lot of white folks to take. Uh-huh. I mean, you just think about it, that how much white people have they bent over backwards to show that they were, or to make people believe that they are superior in everything. Yes. So therefore they adopted the cultures and stories of the world, but they shifted it around. So they made it, they made everybody white. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, back one example in the Bible. So Christ is born, and an angel of the Lord appears to his father, you know, to Joseph. And he basically says, the police are after y'all. You had to take your family and hide them in Egypt. Okay. So exactly, where is Egypt? It's in Africa.
And I didn't know that till I was in college.
Okay. Yeah. So they didn't want you to know that.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and so if the Spirit of God told Joseph to take his family and move them to someplace where they could hide, where they could blend in, they wouldn't be blonde hair and blue eyes. The baby would not have that, because everybody would know this is the guy they're looking for.
Oh, gosh, that's a reminiscent of the day, the white cop shooting the black man.
Yes. And so
looking
and so,
to kill so, the black man.
Yeah. And so they tried everything. And so the good white people and the white people who aren't racist, and even some of the racists who don't know why they're racist, need to start educating themselves. And you know, and that's not really hard. You just have to open up and be your own, have your own mind, use your own thinking and use your own mind and take a look at everything and stop accepting the way people like the Trump people. And unfortunately, a lot of the Republicans, not all the Republicans, but a lot of Republicans, and there are Democrats who are racist and segregationist as well. But you got to stop listening to all that stuff and use your own brain and think about everything. You know, when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, okay, there was more than enough information that said that he was protesting injustice and the way black folks were treated through the police and through other systems. Mm-hmm. Was not protesting the American flag, nor was he protesting veterans. And that came out over and over and over again. Yet you still have white people to this day say, they're not going for that kneeling stuff because their father and their grandfather fought in World War II and Korean War and all that. And they're not going to have anybody disrespecting their image or the flag. It has nothing to do with the flag. And if white people that want to believe that, that means they're not open to trying to figure out what the truth really is.
Right. And some veterans were saying that he was not disrespecting veterans.
In fact, the story goes that it was a veteran who suggested that he take a knee.
Mm-hmm. Because I think he wanted to do something else, and they said that taking a knee was better. So we know that there's a big there's a big swatch of the country that are Trump supporters, that are white supremacists, and that are racist. So with that big of a portion of the U.S. being in that category, how can we have hope that we can come together and live together in peace?
The hope lies with white people who don't claim to be racist and don't claim to be white supremacists. You know, we have to, again, the good white folks who are fair and all that, they have to start speaking out as loudly as black folks have been for all these years. My mother had a picture on her wall of a snapshot, an aerial snapshot of Barack Obama giving a campaign speech. And you can barely see Barack Obama, but it just seemed like it went on endless. You could see these thousands and thousands of people who happen to be white who were listening to his campaign. Okay. He was elected by the help of millions and millions of white folks.
Absolutely. Okay?
They knew he was the best person.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment the Republicans stood up and said, Mitch McConnell said very early, the purpose, his only purpose, his motive that for the next 4 years was to make sure that Barack Obama was a one-term president. So his priority in the Republican Party wasn't for domestic safety or foreign safety or the deficit or anything like that. He didn't want this black man in there. So where were those millions of white people who voted for Barack Obama, who could see that Barack Obama was being treated differently because he was an African American? Why didn't they stand up and say, this is wrong, we're not like this anymore, we're not having this? That would have, if that would have happened, then we wouldn't have this underground, or now they're not underground anymore, this whole movement of racists and white supremacists, because they would have felt like they were outnumbered. But there was no large cry from the good white folks and the marginal white folks. They just kind of sat back and like they were afraid to speak out to truth. So that's where we are now. And if it's going to get better, it's got to come from white people joining black people to say, in mass numbers, to say, this is not what America is supposed to be about, and we're not having it.
But you say in mass numbers, but you still have those Trump supporters who will never say that. So this kind of gets us back to our topic, things white folks need to know, but we also need to talk about things white folks need to do.
Yes.
Because it just seems to me that those Trump supporters, they're white supremacists, they're racist, and they're not going to try to do anything to better the race situation in America. And I'm sure those are not the people you're trying to talk to, right?
Right. You think about the epitome of white people believing this is their country and that they can do anything they want to do is January 6th.
Yep.
Because at that time, these white folks who were, in their own words, trying to overthrow the government, they didn't even think it was a need to cover up their faces.
At the direction of the president, yes.
Right. They believe that this president, who's, they're going to find out, if we already kind of know this, but they're going to find out as years to come how really psychotic this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. He really does have serious problems.
Yes.
But he talks the language of the people who have been who have gone along for many years that said that it's black people that's messing up the country. It's mm-hmm. people that's taking their jobs. It's black people who are messing up the cities, et cetera, which is not true, any of that. But they now have a leader that's saying it out in the open. And it caught everybody by surprise. I think there's two reasons why Donald Trump got elected. One was the racists wanted somebody like that. Make America great again, incidentally, meant make America white again.
White male.
Right. Make America white again. Okay. So those people, that was their language. They couldn't, they just been waiting for a leader to say that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why Donald Trump won was because there are people who didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So they figured that by not voting, they were going to form some kind of protest. And that's not exactly, they didn't really want Donald Trump to win, but they decided they weren't going to vote. And see, now everybody can see where that went down. And you can see that in the last election, the amount of people that turned out and voted against Donald Trump. Now, where we are right now, this is a critical part in the history of this country. The rest of the world is watching as the racist Republicans begin to change the voting rules and voting laws and the districting and so forth that most pertain to African Americans or other non-whites. They're trying to change the rules so those people can't influence the outcome of another election. out and out racist, out and out against everything this country is supposed to stand for. And so in this next cycle, as they have already passed laws that now are in their favor, the American public can still overcome that. We just had to make up our mind, blacks and whites, that we actually are going to overcome it. We can sit back and complain about it and they will win. But if we can do it. The Montgomery bus boycott was an impossible task. How are you going to get enough people not to ride the public transportation? That's crazy.
But Larry, didn't we have a leader during the Montgomery bus boycott?
Yes.
By the name of?
It was Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King Jr. Who's our leader today? Right. That's my point. And what can we do if we're not being coordinated by a leader? It's too, you know, like there's power in numbers. And also, I wanted to go back when you talked about other countries are looking at us. I don't know how we as United States can even try to shine some beacon of light the way we treat our people here. We kill black men just for no reason. We allow white men to walk up to the Capitol and they're going to kill the vice president and Nancy Pelosi. And there's not one shed of blood of those men by the cops. If those were black people, there would be blood all over the Capitol and lots of dead bodies. Yes. So I'm not sure that you're giving me the hope.
I think there's a movement sweeping this country, again, where you have in let's say Congress, for example, where you have the Democratic Party saying that the tactics of the Republican Party is racist because they've only targeted these voting districts that are mainly non-white.
That's correct.
So you have white senators and white House members who are standing up for right because it's right. And that was a thing that King always said. You got to stand up for right because it's right. There's never a wrong time to do right. And so because of the over-the-top examples of racism that come up, and because we've got more and more involvement, you know that for the longest time, the American government, the Congress, the House and the Senate were mainly white males.
Yes.
And both parties. And so they kind of collaborate with each other. We always knew they were doing it. In fact, when Donald Trump said he was going to drain the swamp, everybody knew there was a swamp. Mm-hmm. And I voted for him thinking he was going to help to make that better. But see, back when it was all white males, they could play with each other and help each other and do, you know, ignore other things.
But be in agreement with each other on whatever it is they were trying to do.
That's right. But what is the big significance now? You got non-white females in the House, you know, in the House primarily, that ain't having it. Mm-hmm. No, we've been absent of non-white females in our congressional leadership forever, and now they're stepping up and they're saying, "Nah, we're not having this," and mm-hmm. you know, we're telling you the way we feel, and so the hope comes from all the people who are forced, and particularly the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats, who are forced now to do the right thing because if they don't, they're going to be associated with Donald Trump. That's going to force a movement throughout the country that makes things a little bit more equal than they have been, ever been. And the rest of the world is watching. The rest of the world knows the hypocrisy of America talking about liberty and justice for all. When they know, they could see back when there wasn't any mass media and the people in Europe and the rest of the world couldn't really see the way America was passing the word like, oh, yeah, we you need to come over here because everybody's equal and everybody has access to whatever, and you can be anything you want to be. Da, 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 and they didn't know any different. Mm-hmm. Once the media start covering some of this craziness, the American power and prestige in the world start diminishing little by little by little by little. And so now we're in a position where, and Joe Biden is the best person to be the president right now based on how he's doing, because he's completely going, taking steps to eliminate some of the things that were wrong in the past. Look at his cabinet, you know, look at his president. Right. Look. Some of the things he has said things now that presidents should have been saying all the time.
Well, Mary Trump, you know, Trump's niece, she kind of made a statement on the readout on August 5th that kind of relates to what you're saying. She says, the reason we got here, we, the majority of white Americans, have failed to hold white powerful men accountable. And white supremacy goes hand in hand from the beginning of our history. We need to be very clear with our language because everything is really at stake. And by dancing around it, by being polite, people are not going to understand that this is nothing new. One of the reasons we are here is because we have never faced the fact that there has been vicious tendencies in this country since the beginning. The Jim Crow South was a closed fascist state while America was pretending to be the beginning of democracy for the rest of the world. So it kind of goes hand in hand with what you just said. You know, all this has been going on since the beginning, and we didn't resolve it yet.
No. And a big difference now is Mary Trump is white.
You got saying it.
White people saying the same thing Black people have been saying for centuries. And they and white America has been ignoring it. Now you got white people talking the same thing. And that's what's going to help to turn the tide just a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, to where a lot of that stuff is just not going to be accepted anymore.
All right. Well, Larry, give some white folks some direction as to what are some of the things they can do if they really want to be serious about this whole thing about making America great.
They have to be willing to re-educate themselves. You know, they've been hoodwinked and bamboozled about what America has been all this time, and it's been a lie. And so, but see, they haven't noticed it's been a lie because it all enmeshed into that propaganda was white privilege. So white people didn't have to see that what America has been a hypocrisy. So in order for white folks now to re-educate themselves, they need to deliberately watch things on TV that could help them, but they need to enter into dialogue with Black folks. You know, there's a whole lot of Black people, there's a whole lot of white people that don't know any Black people other than maybe working with them. Never had a deep conversation. And here's another thing, Phyllis. You know, when it's St. Patrick's Day, white folks go around saying, you know what, they say it even to Black people, you know, everybody's a little Irish on St. Patrick's Day. Uh-huh. They wear buttons and say, kiss me, I'm Irish. And when the Italians are, say, you know, they hang their red and green and white flags outside the house in Little Italy. And that's great. Everybody says, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's good.
Yeah, excited about it.
When a Black person says, I'm Black and I'm proud, or a Black person hangs a red, black, and green flag outside their house or puts it on their car or they wear it or something like that, white folks become intimidated.
They kind of step back.
They're intimidated because subconsciously they do know what white people have done to Blacks in America. And they're afraid that if Black people some white people believe that if you are espousing Black pride, that means you're against white people. And they're afraid of that. They're afraid that we're going to turn around and do to them what they did to us for centuries. And so white people have got to talk to some black people. They got to enter into dialogue. They got to watch and listen on the different medias. The right thing, what are black people saying? You know, I had a neighbor once, a white guy's lived next door to me, and we were talking about this, and I was saying there are a lot of things that white people don't realize because white people don't have to talk about race. Black people talk about race all the time because
and black people think about race every day.
Yes, so I said to him, it was around January when I was talking to him, and I thought of something. I said, you know, my grandson asked me the other day, who was I in favor? What team did I want in the Super Bowl? Because my grandson is competitive, and we do this friendly competition thing, and we don't want to take the same team the other has. We want to be cheering against the other. So I said to him, I haven't really followed the NFL that much because of the protests and all that. And I said, but what team has the black quarterback? That's who I'm in favor.
That's always my question.
Yeah.
What's the guy that runs the team? The manager?
The general manager, I guess, or
the man that's on the field giving all the directions.
The coach.
Yeah, either black coach or black quarterback. That's my team.
Yeah. So I told my white neighbor, I said, it didn't occur to me. It just came out like that. And I said, but that created a teaching moment for me, for my grandson. Because I said, at one point in America, black guys weren't allowed to be quarterback. And the reason they weren't allowed to be quarterbacks is because the quarterbacks were associated with being the smartest person on the team and the leader of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Racist system in America would not allow a black person to be seen as the smartest person on the team or to be the leader of the team.
Right.
So when white people take a look at that stuff, when they enter into dialogue and they take a look at it, and now that's something they can do in terms of re-educating themselves. You know, white folks need to, and that's the biggest thing, you enter into dialogue and re-educate themselves, because white people need to ask the question like we've been asking the question. Okay, if the Constitution says that everybody has the right to vote, why do we need a Voting Rights Act?
Right.
You know, why do we need a Civil Rights Act?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Constitution that we all supposed to be living a life in America.
Right. Free.
Why do black people need different kind of legislation? And see, white people need to stop and ask that question. They need to educate themselves. They need to have dialogue with black people and with other whites about this. You know, that's how we're going to get better. Mm-hmm. That's the reasons how we're going to get better.
All right. So let me just kind of summarize some of the things that you've said either prior to this or during this recording of what white people need to do. Educate themselves to the truth and complete history of America.
Mm-hmm.
Dialogue with African Americans to see how they feel about their treatment in America and the history of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Have discussions among fellow white Americans about the issue of how non-whites have been treated for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to the current news and listen from the perspective that what they are seeing could be a misrepresentation of the truth. Now, kind of explain to us what you mean by that.
There are certain news stations on radio and TV who are racist, just flat out.
Right.
So the way they interpret the news is tainted. And so if white people really want to get better at this, at the country getting better, and they want to know more, they have to balance, they have to look at the news, whichever one they're watching, and see, is there an equal representation of the truth as it pertains to domestic issues and racism is?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to analyze it for themselves. It's flat. See, it's right there if you want to know it. If
right.
you want to speak it, it's right there in front of your face. You know, I tell white people this. I said, look here. In the last few years, you've been seeing a whole lot of incidents where white police officers have been killing unarmed black people. Mm-hmm. I say, right? And they're shaking their head, yes. I said, now listen to this. It just didn't start happening.
Right.
Seeing it now because people have camera phones.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been happening for centuries.
From the beginning.
And the epitome of the arrogance, because it's happened, it becomes the white way of doing things. And this is a white country after all. That's mm-hmm. the way they feel. You know, the officer that killed George Floyd, he not only was doing something that he knew was flat out wrong, the people who were taking, who were filming it, he was looking right at the camera.
Yep.
He was looking right into the camera.
As if he didn't give a darn.
He does not. He's, after all, he's white and it's America. Mm-hmm. So he don't do anything to him. This is a black person.
That's a black man under black his person. Knee.
You know,
but Larry, the thing is, oh my gosh, and this sounds so horrible, but if that was a dog under his knee,
that dog
would have lived because people would have been all over that man.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if the country is going to get better, it's going to have to be a quasi kind of revolution. It's called, it's got to happen with revolutionary thinking by mm-hmm. white.
So that goes on to the next thing that white people can do. Speak out against injustice in America.
Yes.
Accept the idea that there's nothing superior about white people over other races, and there never has been.
Right.
Work to make liberty and justice in America the truth. Because we've been living under a lie for so long. And we are not that shining beacon on the hill that everybody thinks that we are.
White people, because you're white in America, you can say anything. You can get away with anything. You can say anything. And, you know, therefore, you know, now we're noticing that Christopher Columbus was a thug.
Yes.
He wasn't a hero.
Right.
And
he didn't discover anything.
Didn't discover anything. And so we need for white people to take a look at things like that. Here's another thing, Phyllis. This country was holding human beings as slaves. Working on to, as they say, can't see in the morning till can't see at night. Were not getting paid. Had their families deliberately separated.
Mm.
Women were deliberately raped.
Mm-hmm.
And when the country says, whoa, wait a minute, this is not right. Okay, y'all got to stop doing that. Okay. The states that were doing it saying, no, we're not stopping that. And you can't tell us what to do. And so, this is the United States of America. No, okay, tell you what, we're going to stage a revolution. And we're going to try to overthrow the North who didn't believe in that,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. And we're going to make it so, and if we win, slavery is going to be the law of the land. And we can treat human beings any kind of way we feel like.
And we'd still be slaves today.
Okay. So that's what the deal was. That's why there was a civil war. Okay. So the civil war ended with those people losing. The people who tried to overthrow the government lost. And then guess what? Because they were white, they got to erect statues of the people that led the revolution.
Yes.
They were able to fly the flags of the entity that wanted to overthrow the government. Where else in the world would rebels get to erect statues of the leaders that tried to destroy the country?
Right.
It happened in America because those people were white. And after all, slavery was bad, but they just black people.
Yep.
So our leaders, our leaders went along with it.
Yep. So, Larry,
it isn't until now that they realize that's wrong. We got to take those statues down.
So, Larry, before we close, do you have any remarks that you want to make before I do my closing remarks?
Yes. I have long since subscribed to the idea that all white people are bad, nor are nor are all Republicans bad. However, we need for those people, the good white people and the marginal, the people that don't want to speak out. We need for them to step up, speak out, and act like you are friends. You know, if you're our friends, then you will speak out on this. If you're not going to speak out on this, we can't trust you either. Mm-hmm. So as we move along, there are people listening to this that you know, white people that want to know some black people but don't know how to do it. You know, deliberately, maybe through your church or through someplace else, get to sit down. There are plenty of race groups. The YWCA actually has an Eliminating Racism Forum, and the contact person is Becca Coda. And if you contact them, they try to have discussion groups all the time so people become educated. So that's my closing is that, you know, this country is not all bad, but we need to be stepping up and be angry about some things. We need to be advocates for good things.
Okay. And Larry, you know, all the things you've said are good. And, you know, as I said, I'm a separatist, but only because I fear for the safety of Black people. Mm-hmm. And I guess I will only not be a separatist when I actually see progress that is appearing to be sustaining. You know, like I said, my Oakland Presbyterian Church family under the leadership of Pastor Leanne, she and that congregation gives me hope that we can start moving in the right direction. And I'm hoping that we can. But
and incidentally, Presbyterians have been doing that for a while.
Yes, Presbyterians have been doing that for a while. Yeah. So just to summarize, white folks, if you're listening, educate yourself, dialogue with African Americans, have discussions among fellow white Americans, pay attention to the current news, speak out against injustice in America, accept the idea there's nothing superior about white people, and work to make liberty and justice in America the truth. Remember when George W. Bush said, "Is our children learning?" Well, today I say, "Is our white folks listening?" Amen. If they are, will they do something?
Amen.
That's it for today for the Joy of Living and Learning Conversations with Phyllis. I thank my esteemed guest, Mr. Larry Morris of Wilmington, Delaware. Thank you for listening, and may peace and joy reign supreme in your life today and every day. I'm Phyllis Tucker Saunders saying so long for now.
Bye-bye.